Hey 911 fam, this is Kim Turner of Kim Turner LLC, the next generation of 911 training and consulting. Are you ready to take your comm center to the next level? Are you ready to take your career to the next level? Hit me up, follow me on social media at 911 Kim Turner, The Kim Turner on Facebook and Instagram. Check out the website. I'm constantly updating with new information. That's www.thekimturner.com. That's Tom Henry, Edward King, Ida Mary, Tom Union, Robert Noir, Edward Robert.com. I know you copied that traffic.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 199 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. This episode is sponsored by Kim Turner LLC. Make sure to check them out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as thekimturner.com for professional dispatch training for the next generation of 911. As always, this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So, this episode is an intro to an epic episode 200. So why an intro? Well, I want to give you all a taste of what you're going to hear. Episode 200 is a live audience episode of Imagine Listening. It's sort of a peer support session where 911 dispatchers share their I Am 911 stories. They either share them in I Am 911 form, or they talk about a call that has stuck with them. Some attendees also write their stories down and hand them up so that they can be read by myself or my co-host during the session. It can be hard to share our stories. It's a challenge. And at that session, I had something special for those who share a story during Imagine Listening. If an attendee shared a story out loud or by writing it down to have it read, they earned an official I Am 911 Challenge coin. I have to say that I am proud of each and every one of you who shared your stories, and also to those who attended the session. Thank you. So it was intense. It was emotional. But in the end, everyone felt good. We shared, we grew, and in a way, we were able to heal. That episode was recorded a few weeks ago, actually, at the Michigan 911 APCO conference on Mackinac Island. It was an amazing experience, and I met and made many new lifelong friends. So with that said, I want to give you a taste of what you're going to hear in the next episode. But I must warn you that if you have PTSD or have suicidal tendencies, you are listening at your own risk. What you're about to hear is a true story, a personal story of my own. This is a story that you have heard a few different times, but it's one that sticks with me. Now, I have many stories to tell, but there are a few that I can tell over and over again. Why? Because they feel like they happened yesterday. The screams, the cries, horrible calls, the rare good calls, it's all there. But to rise above, we face it, we share it, and we gain closure. I also share this story because I want people to know what it is really like to take a 911 call. Now, what I'm about to tell you, actually what I'm about to read, is something I wrote to someone after I shared an I Am 911 story with them. So I want to share the story first. It's a personal I Am 911 story. It says, blue face, cold to the touch. I helped you with CPR after you found your infant face down, not breathing. It messed me up. I did everything I could, but it wasn't enough. I am 911. I remember that call like it was yesterday. That was a horrible call. Having kids of my own, I was right there with mom, with the mother, giving her CPR instructions, even though I knew it was too late. But I didn't want to give up. I wanted to help her with everything that I could. And the only thing that helped was knowing the entire story. I don't know if that's weird to say, but, you know, the call happened rather quickly. I was trying to figure out what was going on. We got people out there pretty fast. But as I sat there, I wondered, and calls kept coming in, and I kept taking calls after that. My supervisor asked if I was okay, and I believe that one was one that I actually said, not really. I need to know what happened. I need to know further, because in this call, they actually had a couple of detectives that went out. Now, this was actually protocol. They needed to make sure that there was no foul play or anything, but that had gone out of my mind. All I was thinking about was, why are they there? Why are there so many people there? What happened to this infant? One of the sergeants ended up coming in, and thank the Lord for that, because that was something that helped out. Thank you, Chris, for coming in that day and telling me exactly what happened, because I needed that. That's what I needed to be able to move on. I needed to hear what had happened prior to the phone call to me. And it was therapeutic. And also sharing that story is therapeutic. So I shared this with someone, and I ended up writing a response to this person, because I recently sent someone this I-91 story, and the person responded saying that the story was heart-wrenching. But they asked a question after that. Can you tell me what it's like to be on the receiving end of these calls? So the following was my response. Imagine your brother has been dealing with a bad breakup. You go to the bar, and after a few drinks, he tells you he wants to kill himself. You tell him to stop talking like that. It's not the end of the world. You head home, and when you arrive, your brother mentions suicide again. Fed up with what he's saying, you go inside, grab a gun, and take it outside. You hand it to your brother and say, "If you really want to, then do it." You think he will realize how stupid of an idea this is and will change his mind, but he grabs the gun and shoots himself in the head, killing himself in front of you. Now imagine you're 911, receiving this call and only hearing screams. It sounds like two females screaming over the phone. You ask, "What's your address? Ma'am, can you hear me?" The screaming continues, and you type out, "Unknown situation." You remember a technique from your training and bring your voice to a whisper, tricking the caller into thinking no one is there. The screaming stops. "Hello? Hello? This is 911. What's your address? And what is going on?" While she tells you the address, you hear screaming in the background. "I can't believe he did it. I can't believe it." "Who's there with you? my boyfriend and his brother, who shot himself outside. Who was the other female screaming? That was my boyfriend. You realize the pain in the boyfriend, and although you are strong and calm on the phone, in the back of your head, all you can think about is your own brother. Ma'am, the police and ambulance are on the way. The ambulance is coming, okay? You hear your caller try to comfort her boyfriend, but you hear him yell something that you will never forget. What the hell is the ambulance going to do? My brother's face is all over the snow. The screaming continues, and you hear your caller yell that her boyfriend now has the gun. He yells that he wants to kill himself. You tell her to get away from him, and he eventually drops the gun and runs back outside. Police arrive, and what felt like 15 minutes worth of chaos was more like 3 minutes. Police secure the boyfriend outside and rush in to check out the caller. She continues to cry and says thank you. You hang up the phone and sit there in shock. Are you okay? Your supervisor asks. Yeah, I'm good, you respond. But you're not good. You're rocked. And the screams echo in your head. For the next 3 hours, they echo in your head, and all you want to do is call your own brother just to hear his voice. When you finally get the chance, you tell him you love him. He asks what happened, and after you tell him about the call, he says, I love you too. This is what it's like to be on the receiving end of these calls. This was a call that I took, and this was years ago, but I can still hear those screams of heartache. It never goes away. It is always there, but you face it and manage it. I have said that taking a 911 call is like getting in a car, slamming the gas pedal, and letting go of the steering wheel. I used to bury these calls, and I caused more damage that way. Now, I talk about them, and it's therapeutic for me. A big thing to understand is that 911 dispatchers are not drones. We don't just answer the phone. We are there with you throughout the entire call, and we may be calm and at the top of our game, but in the back of our minds, we are feeling your emotion. After the call, if there is time, we can reflect on it. But the majority of the time, we pick up the next call and have no time to decompress. I hope this answers your question. Thanks. Ricardo. This has been an intro to episode 200, a live audience episode featuring the 911 professionals who make up the I Am 911 movement in Michigan, my home state. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for the support. And a quick shout out to Jessica of Genesee County, as well as Tayana for listening and being awesome. Also a shout out to Reader's Digest and one of their writers, Lauren, for quoting myself and sharing the podcast in a recent article entitled Secrets a 911 Dispatcher Won't Tell You. In August, at the National APCO Conference, I will be doing 2 Imagine Listening sessions, so please attend, share a story, and earn your official I Am 911 Challenge Coin. This episode has been sponsored by Kim Turner LLC. Make sure to check out the company on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as thekimturner.com for professional dispatch training for the next generation of 911. As always, this episode is supported by InDigital, the leader in next-gen core services. If you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com. you can follow us on Twitter. That's at 911 Podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting apps, and thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.